opening night, such as it is for the Boston Red Sox tonight. To talk about that and more, we are joined on the telephone line by Gary Tanguay of NBC Sports Boston. Hello, Gary.
Hello, Richie. How are you?
I'm just so excited for July opening night.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, hope springs eternal, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, let's say, yeah. When people say, like, it's opening night, don't say. I mean, I know you're doing your thing there, but it's not. It's really not. I mean, it is, but, you know, it's, you know, this whole thing about who's throwing out the first pitch and just play the game. You know, it's not the same. You can't replicate it. Just play the game.
My excitement level matches that of the fans in the stands.
Yeah, you know, we just want to see sports. We just want to see, you know, we want to see some competition. This, you know, the Celtics also have a scrimmage with Oklahoma City. You know, watch the Sox tape the Celtics or vice versa. You know, and you want to see some games. That's all. And I think that if people lower their expectations to just that because of this debate, like you need fans, you don't need fans. Well, you don't have them. Okay,
right.
And, you know, baseball fans, I mean, you know as well as I do, man, sometimes you can listen to a game or watch a game and you don't know if anybody's in the ballpark for, like, three innings. So, and I don't think the fans in New England overall are that great when it comes to making noise. It's not like other areas of the country. So I think people need to get over the no fans thing. I'm like, just be happy we got a game to watch.
I'm fine with that, and I don't even like the crowd noise that Nesson pumped in the other night. I don't need that.
That's stupid. I mean, it's dumb. You know what? Come on. What do you think? Who are we? I mean, it's like the Indy Colts, you know, pumping in crowd noise back or Atlanta. I mean, it's stupid. We were talking about this earlier. Remember when Fox did the glowing puck?
Yes.
You know?
Yes, I mean.
Well, that stuff doesn't work. Don't do it.
I'm just curious to see if this Red Sox pitching staff is the worst pitching I've seen in my 50-plus years of watching baseball.
I threw one out to somebody younger who looked at me like I was a dinosaur. I said, the staff hasn't been so bad since Marty Patton came out of the pen.
It's funny you mentioned Marty Patton because my first thought was the days when Ray Culp was the ace of the staff, or Dick Ellsworth.
Well, there you go. You're going back a little bit further than me, but it's one of those seasons for the Red Sox where obviously the front office is resetting, reestablishing what they're doing. People have been ripping them. I don't. They've won they've won World Series championships. Yeah, you know, the Patriots have won six. They've won four since 2001. That's fine. They didn't spend their money well. You know, they didn't. They recently they've had some gaps when it came to spending the money. You know, they should have signed Lester. They didn't. They gave too much money to David Price. But you know, overall, this ownership's pretty good. So if we have to take it in the gut, you know, for 60 games, so they can reset, so be it. I'm not that upset over it. Other people down here are, but I'm just not.
No, and even the Mookie thing, you know, I get it. It's a business decision. I don't know that he would have signed. He turned down a pretty good offer anyway. Could they have wrapped him up earlier when he was younger? Yeah, maybe. But like you said, they overspent on David Price and probably couldn't.
I've yet to see a player worth their money for 12 seasons. And it's 13, right?
Yeah, counting this year.
$4 million for 13. I mean, Trout got the big contract, but when's the last time the Angels won anything? You know, right. Not with him. So it doesn't make any sense. I mean, to me, that was way too much money from Mookie. The LA Dodgers have a lot of money. They've also reestablished their farm system. They're making a run. They want to spend the money. They can swing it fine. It would have been a bad move for the Red Sox. And I just don't think he wanted to stay here. And that doesn't make Mookie a bad guy, and that doesn't make Boston a bad city. I just never felt that he embraced the environment. I mean, everybody thinks it's the greatest city in the world, which I happen to think it is the greatest city in the world. I love every minute of it. But it's not that way for everybody, Rich.
Right, right.
It's a little harsh. It's tough. You know, if you want laid back LA, man, which it seems he does, this ain't the place. And I just don't think he ever wanted to be here.
I agree with you completely on that. Hey, this Eduardo Rodriguez thing is a little scary. This possibility of some condition maybe involving his heart as a complication of COVID-19. And when I look at that, and then I think he was maybe a batting coach or a strength and conditioning coach who died in the Dominican at 40 years old yesterday. To me, those kind of things, young guys being either dying or being adversely affected, I think that could have a huge impact going forward.
I think, Rich, there's no doubt about it. And while we're in the sports business, and while it's our livelihood and we want to talk about games, and I've brought this up twice on Early Edition, and people have said I'm being dramatic. I've said, what happens if somebody dies?
Yeah.
And the response that I've received is, that's a bit of a stretch. These guys are young. They're in good shape. And I'm going, they don't have pre-existing conditions. I go, well, you know, the thing about a pre-existing condition sometimes is sometimes people don't know they have it.
Exactly.
You know, and I think it's going to happen. And it scares me. I mean, I've had a former coworker of mine, 48 years old. She had issues, medical issues, but she died. Saddest thing ever. I mean, it can happen. It's a problem, Rich. But people are, you know, I mean, you ask me, like, it's a statement on our society, man. We just can't, we have no patience.
Right.
You know, we want the games. The players want to play. The owners want to make money. Everybody wants to compete. Would it be the worst thing in the world if we just took a timeout for another 6 months until I could get a vaccine? You know?
Not to my way of thinking. And I just wonder, like, I think basketball and hockey, they might be able to make this work because of where they are. But I have my doubts about baseball when they start hitting the road.
Well, baseball and football.
Yes.
That's, you know, you put 50 guys on a plane, and you fly into a different city, and you're there for the night. It's not even a situation where, you know, a player does something wrong, like, you know, skips curfew or doesn't follow protocol. It's just a hotel employee, a family member. I mean, just it doesn't take a lot. So I agree with you. The NBA's got the best situation right now, so it seems. And I think the NHL may have the second best because they have two cities. But it's like, I mean, in our household, like, there's discussion about, like, you know, fourth grade. And I, you know, do you send your kid back for the fourth grade? I say no. I go, let's do it online for another 6 months.
Yeah. I mean, we're having that discussion on multiple levels because, you know, we got a first grader. And then, you know, both my wife and I work in schools. And I don't know that any of us are feeling very excited about the prospect of going back.
Well, you have teachers, too.
I mean,
you guys are like sitting ducks. I don't mean it. That was a little harsh. But I mean, anyways, we're getting off topic. But, you know, when you see something with Eduardo Rodriguez, it's very sobering because I think that, you know, the perception of athletes is that they're, you know, they're supermen and superwomen, and they're not.
No, and you know, Kerry was just, you know, jotted down Reggie Lewis as a great example. We didn't know he had a pre-existing condition.
We did. That's a great. It's a good call by Kerry. It is a yeah. Oh yeah. And okay. Yeah. There's no question. There's no doubt. I mean, there's risk involved. There's no doubt about it.
What's going on with Boston College football? Because yeah, most Northeastern football has shut down. When I'm amazed at this, the Northeast that is handling COVID-19 better than the rest of the country has largely shut down football and fall sports at the collegiate level. But the South and the West, where they're getting hammered, are like, yeah, let's play. We're ready to go.
Well, you know, my motto, I said it, you know, take Florida and saw it off and let it float down to South America. You know, I mean,
that's addition by subtraction.
I mean, just, and, you know, I got into a debate with somebody the other day that said, well, the numbers are worse in Massachusetts. I go, well, yeah, I don't know the population numbers, but I think that, you know, Massachusetts is more densely populated in certain areas, and Florida is more spread out. And, oh, by the way, it happened to us when nobody knew what the hell was going on.
Right.
You would have thought that Florida would have learned something. But I don't know, Rich, with BC football. I know that I take my cues from Harvard. And yeah. Harvard said, nope. And I said, okay.
Right. I think I'm fairly... They got some smart people at Harvard. If they decide this is not a good idea, maybe they're on to something.
Well, my doctor for the last 20 years, he is a Harvard School graduate, and he's an instructor at Harvard Medical School, and I trust him. So, yes, that's, I don't, they haven't even done it for our school here locally in Sudbury. They haven't canceled it yet, and I don't know what they're waiting for. Like, you know, I don't know how you can play football in it. I don't know how you can play high school football. I don't know how you can play college football. Professional football, you know, you're adults, you're big boys, mm-hmm. and it's about money, and guys want to get paid, and owners want to make money, and they assume the risk. That's the way I look at it. But I don't understand the collegiate level. And maybe because, you know, for BC, it's a bigger paycheck.
Right.
I mean, the ACC, right? The ACC television money is going to be a lot more than the Ivy League. And the endowment for Harvard is, you know, that's not a, you know, they're not hurting. BC, it's got to be money rich, right? ACC money.
I think so. I think that's it. Crazy indeed. Hey, what's going on tonight on the early edition?
We don't have a show because the Celtics scrimmage is on.
Oh, okay. What time is that get underway?
5 o'clock.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so I'm excited for that, just to watch that. See, I think Tatum and Brown are going to do really well. I'm looking for Kemba's knee. I don't know if that's ever going to get better, but I think the future is Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. I think for the next, I don't know, 8 years, we're going to be looking at those two and having a heck of a ride. Can they win a championship? I, who knows? You know, when LeBron gets a little bit older, but they're just, and I think what Jaylen's doing off the court, I think that I think he's become the leader of the team, and I think they're going to be a lot of fun to watch.
Well, and they seem to really get along well together, and I don't think that's a small thing.
In the NBA, it is not a small thing because Jaylen is one of the smartest people you will ever meet. If you follow what he's done socially and culturally, you know that, right? So he has no problem, like, stepping forward and looking you in the eye and being the face of the team. And he's not the best player. He's damn close to it. Tatum's the best player. But Tatum's not going to have to do the leadership thing because Jaylen can. You know? So that's why I think that it's okay. Like, Jaylen knows that Tatum's the best player on the team. And I think that Jason knows that Jaylen's becoming the leader of the team. And I think they both benefit from it. That's what I think. So,
all right, before we let you go, did you get a call from Ryan Johnson? They're talking about Knives Out 2.
Man, I hope so. I mean, I just like what do you, I you know, what do you even remember me?
Oh, come on.
Like some people say, like, oh, do you see, because Chris Evans lives in Sudbury. Oh, do you see Chris Evans? I've never seen Chris Evans. And I wouldn't say a word to him if I did see him. Like, hey, remember me? I was in. Yeah, no. I hope so, but boy, Ryan can write. Son of a gun, man. And what I wanted to say on the air, what Duplass, his wife is from Hampton?
Millbridge.
And they probably listen. You and I were talking. That Mark Duplass's performance in the last two things I've seen him in, that guy's going to win an award. He's been unreal.
I hope so. Did you watch the movie he did with Ray Romano, Paddleton?
You know, I'm going to watch it. When am I going to? That's next on the list because I started to watch it, and because it's depressing.
It's great. Best thing Romano's ever done, I think. They're both great.
Well, it is the best thing Romano's ever done. I did see that, and my wife was like, I can't. I was halfway through it. And she was like, I can't watch this. And I never finished it because anything Duplass does, I'll do. You know, I mean, I'll watch. I just think that he's, and I know that you know him and stuff. But he's tremendous.
Absolutely.
Tremendous.
Well, we like you too. I mean, you're a multi-talented guy, Garrett.
We're trying. Yeah, okay, sure. Thanks. Perry Mason's the other pick to click, man. Have you watched that yet?
What is it?
Perry Mason.
I haven't seen it yet, but
You're a historian. Like, you remember everything, especially about classic TV, and it's a great plot. still with that classic feel, you'll love it.
I wasn't sure because it's, you know, it's a different setting and he's a private investigator. But then I read that in one of the, I don't know, episode 5 or 6, there's a great little shout out to the classic series. And I thought, oh, then these people are smart. They've done it right. So, yeah, I've got to check it out.
Yeah, you got to check it out. Yeah, it's well, you will really enjoy it because I know you're. It's a Rich Kimmel thing.
Because I'm old, but that's it. That's
we all, bro.
Gary, good to talk with you as always, my friend. Right. Enjoy the game tonight. Have a nice weekend,
yeah,
and we'll visit with you again soon.
Okay.
Thanks, Gary. Gary Tangway, NBC Sports Boston, here on Downtown.